this morning to talk about the search committee. We're not going to talk about candidates because we're not allowed to do that, but we have Robin Brown, who is with us. She is the foundation CEO and vice president of development for Colorado Mesa. Robin, appreciate you coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
Dare I disclose that you are the sister of one JJ, our sales guy that we like to, he's our resident pinata on the program.
He makes it easy, doesn't he?
He does.
He does. It's punching down in more ways than one.
Ouch. Buckeye.
Was this a blood sister?
This is his sister.
Same parents.
Oh, okay.
I know, and you think the success of his siblings would have rubbed off on him, but no, he's here working with us.
Well, so. You obviously haven't met our dad yet.
Oh, I met Biff.
I
met Biff.
Well, then that explains everything.
Biff's a national treasure. Come on, I love Biff. But Robin's on the search committee. Now, you're the only non-football player member of the committee. So give us first, Robin, kind of the outline of who's on the committee, exactly who is on the search committee.
So we have a couple different groups. We have the core search committee, which will sift through the 70 plus resumes and applications that we have to kind of dial it down. And then we have a larger group of football alumni and people involved with the football program that will help us with the narrow that group further down.
Can you throw out some of the names and the alumni that are involved?
So we have Kai O'Day is involved. I don't know if you know Kai.
I know Kai extremely well.
And James Bracey. We've asked
tremendous defensive back.
There you go.
Played for Joe Romano. Great guy.
We've asked Phil Paya to help us out.
Yep, I know Phil.
I could go on and on. There's quite a few. We asked Antonio Clark to join us.
We actually had
you
Antonio
had a really
on.
Good. Yeah, yep. I listened to that interview. It was really good. In fact, that's why I called him up, because he had a lot of good insight to that in that conversation. Who else? I should have brought the list with me. It's long.
We don't expect you to commit it to memory.
It's just a lot of football alum, both here and out of town, that have been involved in the past. We're involved with the hiring of Tremaine. And we also asked Chris Hanks, Coach Hanks. I keep saying we want the Chris Hanks of football. That's who we want to hire.
Right.
And so we asked.
Those are tough to find.
I know. Everyone wants that, right? But we asked him to come on and really help us find a coach that's going to stick around and invest in the program and be here for the long haul.
And that's the number one thing, is trying to find somebody that's going to make the commitment. Because as much as I really like Tremaine Jackson, I thought he did a sensational job. When he was hired, I did get the feeling if he's here 5 years from now, Maverick fans will be lucky.
And I heard that from a lot of people. Yeah, yeah. I would agree. I've heard that.
And so number one is finding somebody that will have either from here potentially, possibly, or at least embrace the idea of being here for 7, 8, 9, maybe 10 years, hopefully longer, and hopefully a very long and successful tenure.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's what we want, a coach that's going to be happy here, you know, invest in the community, stay, if they have a family, raise their family here, and really want to build a legacy program over the next decade.
Robin Brown with Colorado Mesa University Foundation, CEO and Vice President of Development. She's part of the search committee for a new football coach at Colorado Mesa. So can you go through the list of the one through however many that you have in terms of what you and the search committee are looking for?
So I think we want a coach, like I said, that will be here for the long term. We'd love to have a coach that, you know, would stick around for a decade and help us build a program. We do need a coach that's going to help us fundraise. When you look at how we compare to other schools in the RMAC, we're pretty competitive on operating budget, what we pay our coaches. There's a lot of ways we can compete. We're like number 7 when it comes to scholarships. And so our team's about half filled. We'd have to raise another probably $250 a year to be fully scholarshiped, and that's a lot of money, $250,000. And so really we would need a coach that would have some experience and would be really invested in helping us fundraise to get fully scholarshiped. That's a goal of mine at the foundation. Tremaine came to us at a really important time with the Black Lives Matter movement and really worked closely to, you know, we in my opinion, our community handled that. You know, it was an exemplary way to handle that difficult time. Yeah, the whole thing with the football team and the working with the police department. And so really having a coach that's going to build character in our student athletes and contribute in that way, that could have gone very differently. So we're grateful for Tremaine for that. We just wish he would have stuck around a little bit longer. Obviously, recruitment is probably one of the most important things, having experience recruiting, and also having experience recruiting in this region. as we see candidates come in, there's a couple different categories. There are, you know, first of all, there's no shortage of really qualified coaches out there. Some have never been west of the Mississippi. And so, you know, you question a little bit. We have discussions on, is that a good cultural fit? Will they move out here and like it? You have a lot of D2, RMAC coaches that obviously know the program, know the school. That seems like a good cultural fit. So those conversations are ongoing. There's a lot from the Northwest, which doesn't surprise me. We moved here from the Northwest. The weather's terrible. You want to get to the sunshine. I think those would be happy coaches here. And so those are some of the hot, the top. But it's tough because there are so many coaches out there and so many that are qualified. So really narrowing that down will be difficult.
Robin Brown with CMU. She's part of the football search committee, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. You said you have roughly right now at 70.
I think we're sitting at 70 candidates.
And what's the window in terms of, is that door now closed for candidates or is it still open for a while longer?
The apply by date is Sunday.
Okay.
And so we, the committee, will meet on Monday and really try to narrow that down to maybe top 10. And then we'll do virtual interviews first and then narrow it down to another maybe 3 to 4, we hope, and bring them to campus and tour them around campus, have them meet some of the more important groups on campus and in the community that are really vested in this. Our donors obviously care about who we're going to hire. And then so we hope to have a decision by the 1st of February. That's really fast, but coaches are being snapped up left and right now.
Absolutely, regardless of level.
So we're moving very quickly.
And it's, you're running up against National Signing Day,
yep.
Which
yes.
creates uncertainty in terms of players making a decision, high school players, whether they want to play at Mace or not because of an uncertain coaching situation, which makes that really difficult for whoever takes over because you're immediately kind of behind things, behind the chain, so to speak, to use a football term. In regard to recruiting.
Yeah, and that is, President Marshall's really sensitive to that. You know, Coach Jackson went out and recruited some great great athletes, some student athletes for next year, and so it remains to be seen if they'll continue to come. Both he and Brian Rooks have had phone calls with all those families, or they had a Zoom meeting with the current players and the incoming players to just assure them that we're committed to everything that was promised to them, hiring a great coach and really taking care of their kids.
Robin Brown with us in studio today. She is the foundation CEO and vice president of development for Colorado Mesa. She is part of the search committee for a new football coach at Colorado Mesa. And when we look at fully funded, because that going back to when the Mavericks became a D2 NCAA program, Robin,
yep.
fully funded has been a problem for the CMU football program. Going back to the Mesa State days, whether it was Jay Hood, Joe Romano,
yep.
Russ Martin, that was always, hey, we've got to get this thing fully funded. That's 36 scholarships. And you say that, you know, part of your plan, what you're doing is to at least try to get it close to that number, get it close to 36.
Yeah, so the reason that I'm on the search committee as the only non-football player is because, I mean, I started I've been in the Valley 10 years, but I started in the foundation September 1st, and the first football game was September 2nd. My first meeting was with Coach Jackson to figure out how to get them fully funded. And so we had come up with this plan over the last 4 months to really go out and hit the ground hard fundraising to get there to the 36. We're probably we're somewhere between 22 and 25, depending if they're in-state or out of state. And that makes just a really big difference. You know, you look at why Western beat us, and it's because they have 10 more scholarshiped athletes than we are. They shouldn't have beat us.
They shouldn't have.
So again, you look at what makes certain teams competitive. I mean, CSU Pueblo is probably, I mean, the funding that they have is probably unreachable, but we're pretty competitive in all areas except scholarships. And so really it's a goal of mine over the next 5 years to try to work towards that goal. Currently we're at about, we raise about just under 600,000 for scholarships, and we need to be somewhere around 750, 800. What's an advantage for us is our tuition and fees are so much lower than the other schools. And so it's easier for us to get there than like a Mines. Mines has the most scholarships, has the highest amount of money for scholarships, but they're also the most expensive school in the RMAC.
And you look at how the Mavericks have competed when Russ Martin was here, 6 straight years of over, you know, winning records, did go to the playoffs in 2015, went with the team when they lost, shouldn't have lost to Texas A&M Commerce, who went on to win the national championship. Couple of RMAC titles. that CMU's been competitive.
Yes.
And that's not the problem. It's being able to it's getting into that point where you're with Pueblo and yes. with Mines, that every year the playoffs are like this last year was. You are in the hunt. You're in contention. And there were times off and on during Russ's tenure where that was the case, where they did finish above 500. In the last couple weeks of the season, they were still in that conversation. But it's keeping the Mavericks in that conversation
all
year
the time.
In and year
yeah,
out.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
And I do think that the big difference that one is having, well, the most important difference would be having a coach that's here for that long haul and building that program, and then to being having the ability to bring on probably better athletes because of the scholarships.
Robin Brown with Colorado Mesa University with us today on the Jim Davis Show.
And how important, I know it's important, but I mean, how early in the conversation with a potential head coach will it be that, you know, when he comes into the CMU sandbox, there's some coaches and programs in that sandbox that are very successful, and working with that and embracing that rather than taking that as a slight against football?
Well, and that was always, you know, the rub with Coach Jackson. Obviously, he said that to you on his way out. Valdosta State football is the program, and at CMU it is one of many very successful programs. That's super important. I'll say this: at CMU we treat all our sports equally, or at least we have to date. I do think that investing a little more in football and a little more focus on football is important because it brings the community in. I mean, if you look at this year, in a way that other sports haven't always. I mean, if you know, homecoming was sold out. I don't know the last time CMU had a sold-out football game. And it was really fun. And the culture and the student experience, the student section was packed. They rushed the field after the win. I mean, that is just an incredible thing for everybody in Mesa County to participate in and feel pride in and lift up our university. So I do think that there should be a little bit of focus, I should say, on growing the football program, but not at the expense of our other incredible athletic programs.
Robin Brown with us in studio today. She's the foundation CEO and vice president of development for Colorado Mesa. And when you talk about getting closer to fully funded,
yeah,
and you mentioned the price tag, what that looked like to increase the scholarship level. How do you go about doing it, Robin?
So we need donors. CMU has been very generous with our athletics. So I think all of our athletics to date, all of them across the board, are funded to 80%. Equivalency. That is a number that moves depending on the sport and the cost of that sport. But we rely on our private donors, our businesses. You know, Mark Miller is a wonderful donor to the football program.
Sponsors our
yep.
radio program.
And so we need more sponsors like that to get there. And so we just really need community support to rally around our program. That involves them believing in the program, believing in the coach, and believing in the students that are coming up through that program. And so that's really, when we pick a new coach and hire a new coach and bring him on the team, we'll work really closely with that coach to try to get more sponsors and try to get more support from the community for the program and directly to scholarships. So getting those student athletes into the program.
Robin Brown from CMU with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. To wrap it up here, we'll step aside from your job with the search committee
sure.
in CMU to your time serving our country. You were in the Army, and you're an Army helicopter pilot.
Yep.
Thank you for your service and your husband's service, by the way.
Thank you very much.
And my understanding is you were the first female helicopter pilot to be shot down in combat. Is that correct?
So I wouldn't say the first. During Desert Storm 1, there was a female pilot shot down.
Now, your brother told me that, so I'm going on. So I knew probably the information,
probably
maybe not exactly spot on.
That's one of those statistics that's up for debate, although who wants to debate it? I mean,
right, exactly.
So it's funny. People are always, I guess, in awe or impressed when they hear I'm shot down, but the truth is you're not really supposed to get shot down. So.
No, but still, though, from my perspective, you're an Army helicopter pilot,
yeah.
You're in combat. That's pretty badass. That's pretty cool. So,
thank you.
Yeah, that's pretty
cool. I love
the
military, yeah.
How long did you serve?
I served 8 years, 2 tours in Iraq, and then at that point, I hadn't seen my husband in a year. He did 2 tours in Afghanistan, and so we retired, and so we got out and landed in Grand Junction in 2010. And have never looked back.
We
love being here.
We're glad, even though you had to bring JJ's here. We love JJ. We're glad for what you're doing for CMU and what
you
previously did for the for the Economic Development Council as well here in town. So, and thank you for listening to the program. We appreciate that as well and in serving our country. And
I love the program. Thank you very much.
Are you as big a fan of Clemson as your brother?
No, I'm not actually. It's a weird thing about the Clemson. We were raised to hate Clemson. My family are sports fanatics.
Right.
They watch anything. And but we were raised to hate Clemson, and then we had a couple cousins that went to Clemson, and I remember it was a bizarre thing in the early 90s when my brother switched teams and suddenly became a Clemson fan. So, no.
I knew he was a front runner. Yeah, I
see?
Knew it.
You called him Buckeye.
I knew he was a front runner.
So it's a funny thing. It took my dad a long time to come along and become a Clemson fan with my brother, but I think he's there now. Well, they really like
Dabo?
Dabo.
Yeah.
And it's hard not to like him.
So who did they root for before?
So would have to go back and I think it was more about hating Clemson. We used to call him Stinking Clemson. It was more about hating Clemson than supporting another team.
Yeah, and now they love Clemson.
I can get behind that. Hey, just hating another team, not even having your own.
It's like the Patriots.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's a good comparison.
It's a lot like that. Yeah.
Well, Robin, thank you so much, and best of luck to you in the search committee and being a Mesa alum. I'm pulling for you guys to come up with a winner here for the next head coach.
I really appreciate all the coverage of our sports and having our coaches on, and I just enjoy it so much. And go Mavs.
Go Mavs. Thank you.